I remember talking with a truck driver in my first congregation after I got ordained. It was up in Teeswater, which is about maybe 20 minutes southwest of Walkerton. That's where I was first assignment. And he was on sick leave. He'd been driving up along Highway 17. He was a long-distance truck driver. He was driving along Highway 17 between Wawa and Thunder Bay. I don't know how many of you have driven along there before. Yeah. And during the winter, right? And it was terrible weather, very icy road conditions. And down a little ways, a car came around the corner in the opposite direction. And the driver lost control of his car. And he came into this truck driver's lane. And he could see, the truck driver could see the driver of the car frantically trying to regain control of his vehicle, but to no effect. And this car crashed right into the front of his cab, and the driver of the car was killed instantly. And the thing about this accident that seared into his mind was the moments right before the crash. See, because he could see the car moving in slow motion, everything became slow. And he could see right through the windshield, and he could see right into the face of the driver of the car. And for a moment, they locked eyes together. And as they say, it was like time stood still. And the whole thing moved in such a slow way, the accident became, for the truck driver, a very personal thing. It became a very personal moment between him and the other driver. And it shattered him. The accident and the death of the car driver, it shattered this truck driver. He couldn't drive anymore. It had nothing to do with a physical injury because he wasn't injured by the accident at all. And I don't think the accident shattered his confidence in his own driving ability. Because intellectually, he knew that there was nothing he could have done in the moment to change things. I've been talking over the last few weeks about how our religious life, our spiritual life, has to move beyond our reason or rationality. And I think this story is a perfect example of why. Because our experiences in life can take us far beyond the limits of our rationality or our reason. Our experience can go beyond words, can go beyond our reasonable thoughts and words. This truck driver recognized at a rational level that he wasn't responsible for the other person's death. The events that unfolded on that day were outside his realm of control. It truly was a tragic accident, and there was nothing he could have done about it to change things. And yet, nonetheless, he was shattered by this accident and this man's death. And I'm not exactly certain what he was feeling, even today as I think back on it. I don't know what he was really feeling because there weren't really words to describe what was going on deep inside of him. Some things in life just go beyond words. I wonder if he just lost courage for a time in his life. See, he looked over the precipice. He looked down into the void and completely understood in that moment the basic precariousness of human life, because he'd experienced it firsthand. And on top of that, the accident was so personal to him. He'd had a moment where he had connected with the other driver. He had a personal experience with that person. For a moment, he and the other driver were one, in a sense. And then he was involved directly in the unfolding of this person's death, of the death of another person who he'd had that connection with for a moment. And as I say, it shattered him. And there wasn't a lot to say about it. When I was on my second student ministry job at St. Paul's United Church in Prescott, Ontario, a young 6-year-old girl in the community was killed tragically in an automobile accident. She was walking along one side of a busy road with her mom and her dad and her brother on the other side, and just on a spur of the moment decision, she decided to go to her dad And she left her mom's hand and she ran across the road to get to her father. In that moment, a car struck her and killed her. And it was a truly tragic moment in this family's life and the community too. And there was this woman at St. Paul's who had babysat this six-year-old girl when she was just a baby. And she wanted to go to the funeral service, but she was scared and overwhelmed by this young girl's death. So I told her that I'd go with her. And so we went to the service, the funeral service, together. The funeral was at the Presbyterian Church in town, and the church was packed full of people, as you can imagine, standing room only. And the sanctuary was full of pain and sadness. And I'm thinking to myself at that time, what is this Presbyterian minister going to do? Like, how does one lead a funeral service where there's only one emotion at play, deep, deep, profound grief and sadness? How do you lead a funeral service like that, where there's no place for celebration, really? Because in these kinds of moments, there are no words. What happened to that young girl and her family has gone beyond words. And yet people at funeral services expect words. But sometimes there really aren't any. There aren't any words. Not in that moment, certainly. Maybe a week later, or a month later, or a year later after this young girl's tragic death, there might be words to say, but not a couple of days after her tragic death. And I'm shivering inside at this funeral service as I watch the family come into the sanctuary heartbroken. And I'm thinking to myself that someday, I might have to be standing up in front of a church officiating a funeral service like this. Officiating a funeral service of a young girl or boy who's been tragically taken. And I would say any six-year-old child who's been taken in an accident or through illness or sickness is a tragic death. And I'm shivering inside thinking that someday I'm going to have to say or find words where there really aren't any. And I don't know how to do that. Do you? You know, it's the odd thing that I've been a pastor for 24 years now, and I still haven't faced that particular kind of situation. I've officiated a couple hundred funeral services, and I've officiated some tragic moments in people's lives, but I've never been in a situation where I'm facing something that has no words to it, something that's gone beyond words. I've always been in a situation where there still were words to be found. I've not faced a situation where there are no words to be said, and yet where people expect words to be spoken. I kind of feel like a police officer in a way who's gone through their whole career and yet to draw their gun. That happens in life. Police officers can go through their whole career and never draw the gun out of their holster in their line of duty. Happens in Canada, happens even in the United States. It's not uncommon at all, actually. I've never come to a place of leadership where I've had to lead in a situation where there are no words and yet people expect words to be said. Can you think of situations in your own life where the events of the moment go beyond words? Have you had an event in your life like that? Where you've had no words to express what you're feeling? Tragic loss would be one place where that can happen. Sometimes also we can become so angry or rage-filled that we have no words to utter in the moment. Sometimes we have intense feelings of joy, of extreme joy, where we have no words to really express the intensity of our feelings. You know, sometimes we can become so surprised in the moment that we become speechless. We have no words. I've seen that at surprise birthday parties. The person comes walking in and they're completely shocked and they have no words. They really have no words. Sometimes I've come to the end of a movie or a book and I'm confronted with a surprise ending that I hadn't seen happen and I'm speechless in the moment, in my thoughts even. We can be shocked by something, so horrified by it that we become speechless. A situation takes us beyond words. Somebody says something so rude to somebody else that we become speechless. Or somebody does something that's so blatantly self-centered and hurtful to another person that we go beyond words. We have no words to respond with. People can have God encounters or visions of a type that take them beyond words. I think of what happened to Paul when he met Jesus on his way to Damascus. That event of his encounter with the Lord took him beyond words. It shattered him, actually. And for several days afterwards, he had absolutely nothing to say. I read someone who had such a profound near-death experience that they barely said any word to anyone for 2 years as they worked through their experience. There were no words to convey the new reality they found themselves in. I remember talking with my uncle about his experiences in World War II. For 40 years, he never said anything to anyone about his experiences in World War II. His wife didn't know about them. His kids didn't know about them. His grandchildren didn't know about them at all. He knew that I really was a student of World War II. I loved knowing more about World War II. And then one day, when he was about 75 or 80, he sat me down and told me some of his war stories. He was ready to speak then. But for a long time in his life, he had no words to give to his experiences in World War II. It's quite common to find ourselves in situations in life that go beyond words. Sometimes a beautiful piece of music will take us to that place. Sometimes standing in front of beautiful art will do that. A haunting sunset. To go beyond words actually is not an uncommon experience for us in life. In fact, I think often the most beautiful, the most poignant, the most meaningful parts of life take place in the world beyond words. It's not that words are bad, not at all, quite the opposite. Words are what make us to be human. It's what distinguishes us from all the other creatures of the earth. Words are important. It's just that there's a life beyond them as well. God speaks to us in words, and God speaks to us beyond words as well. I've been teaching people in the Praying in the Spirit class how to speak in tongues. There's so within it. That doesn't mean there's no meaning within tongues. It just means we go beyond the rational understanding of words. It's a form of speech or of prayer that goes beyond our rational understanding. That's all it does. It takes a believer in Christ and takes them beyond the world of words. You know, at first, as we're practicing in our Praying in the Spirit class, it's a bit contrived. I'll acknowledge that. We got to learn how to separate the sound of speech from the intellectual content that goes with it. And that's actually very hard for people to do. It's very hard for you and me to do that. We've been so conditioned to associate human vocalization of sound with rational meaning that we find it very difficult to separate them. Even our everyday chatter that goes in our minds, is formed with words. That nagging voice that goes on in our head, it speaks to us in words, mostly, moment by moment. It's all based on words that chatter in our heads. It's really hard to speak without words, inside and out. But it can be done. And Paul tells us today that the Spirit of God comes to us, especially in those moments and events beyond words. Especially in the moments of weakness and defeat, in moments of confusion and stupor, when we have no words, in those moments, in that moment, when it's so hard to pray, Paul says that's when the Holy Spirit comes to us and intercedes for us with wordless groans. That is the Spirit prays for us, speaks for us without human words. The Holy Spirit makes petition for us to God even when we lack the power or capacity to do it for ourselves. When we cannot pray, the Holy Spirit will pray for us if we let him or her. Because sometimes the Spirit is noted as effeminate. If we open our hearts and our lips and we let the Spirit speak through us, it's not our words that are speaking in that moment. The Spirit is speaking through us, even though what comes out of us is not words as we understand it. It's still God's speech. And that's the important thing in prayer, that God understand what we're saying, even if we don't in the moment. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, deep down inside of you, and you don't hinder it with your rational reserve, something amazing happens to you and me. Something very profound occurs in us. It's a mystery, I'll acknowledge it. There's an incredible catharsis that happens when the Spirit speaks from our deepest part of our nature and speaks outwards to God. There's a kind of cleansing, a purification of sorts, a true spiritual release that happens inside of us that we cannot fully explain. To be a follower of Jesus means to live in the Spirit. And for the Spirit to live and move through us, when that happens, we gain a type of knowledge that is not word-dependent. It's like knowing whether you belong in a family or not. Like you really belong. Or maybe you belong in a certain circle of friends that you associate with. Whether you really belong there or not, or you really are part of the family at work, or you're part of a church family, how do you know that you really belong? When do you know that you really belong, that you're really part of this group? I've known people who've gone to church their whole life. They've been involved in congregational life their whole life, and yet deep down they've felt they've never really belonged there in the deepest way. I've had people tell me about their family experiences too. They're part of a family. They've got siblings, parents, and all that, and yet somewhere deep inside of them, they don't feel deep down they really belong. Somehow they just don't fit in. You know, people can use all the right words to try to convince you that you belong, and yet there's something missing, and you know it. Somehow you just don't feel like you fit in, or you just don't feel like you really belong, or you're just not measuring up in some way that you can't put your finger on. And no amount of words by themselves can change what you're feeling, because the knowledge that you feel is deeper than words. And it's going to take something deeper than words to convince you otherwise. We say in church that you're God's child, that you're sons and daughters of God. But those are just words. How do you know this is true? How do you know it's true that you really are a son or daughter of God? You can read Bible passages over and over again to yourself. You can read Romans 8 again and again and again and again, and you might come to some intellectual knowledge. Yeah, maybe I'm a child of God, maybe I'm a daughter of God, I'm a son of God. But how do you know in your heart and in your gut and in your soul that you truly are a child of God, that you belong to the Father of heaven today? And I think most people want to know about God's love is more than an idea, too. If it stays at the level of an idea, it has no power. It's only powerful when it becomes something more than an idea. Only then will you no longer doubt it. When you know it in your heart or in your gut or in your soul, when you know it deeply inside of you, then you can take this knowledge of God's love for you, that you're a child of God, and you can put it in the bank, so to speak. And you can build your life around this truth for yourself. You can build your life around this incredible love that the Scriptures say God has for you. And you know, I want to help build a church where people really know the truth of the gospel. They know that God is love. And they know that they belong to the Father of heaven through Jesus. And it's not just a bunch of words or platitudes or nice thoughts. People know it, and they live it at the most visceral level of their life from the gut. But I don't know how to get you there, because I'm just using words today again. Paul says that those of us who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Do you believe him? He says that the Spirit is taking us out of the world of fear and putting us into the world of adoption, right into the heart of the Father. Do you believe him? Really believe him? Paul says we're adopted right into the very essence of God's love by Spirit, right into the very heart of God's love. And that we can know this love because the same Spirit who intercedes for us, the one who's with us in our deep groans, can speak through you and me, can speak from the very depths of ourselves and bring us to a place where we can say truly in our hearts, Abba, Father. The Spirit can take you and me right in this moment to the heart of the matter. And we will know without doubt who we belong to today. Paul tells us that as far as God is concerned, if we follow Christ, then we become like Jesus to him. We become heirs of God and co-heirs with the Lord. That's good news for us. It means that we have the same relation with God that Jesus has. I mean, God loves us in the same way that God loves Jesus. God blesses us in the same way that God blesses Jesus. God will live through us in the same way that God will live through Jesus. And we've been looking at important teachings in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit over the last few weeks. We've learned that the Holy Spirit has come to make us like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes to us to help us do the will of the Father. And the Holy Spirit comes to help us and purify us in our daily walk in this world. And today we learn that the Holy Spirit has come to guide our prayers and to take us to ways of knowing beyond words. And when we find ourselves in places beyond words, we know we're not alone there, because the Spirit of God is there with us. And when we find ourselves with others in places beyond words, like when I was with the truck driver, the Holy Spirit intercedes for both of us, and both of our prayers brings our heart to the mind of God. And these prayers of the Spirit may go beyond our reasonable understanding, but God knows what we're saying, and God will be okay with that. And when our words fail, the Spirit will speak to God for us. And when we move beyond words, the Spirit will show us the way. And you know, I don't shiver so much anymore when I think about meeting situations where there are no words. I'm not as worried anymore about finding myself in a situation where I have to lead a funeral service for some tragic death. I'm not looking forward to that moment, but I'm not shivering inside because of it. Because see, I don't need always human words to minister in those moments. The Spirit has promised to be with me in those situations. And there are ways to minister to people beyond words. There is a spiritual nature to life, and it just means that I need to step aside and allow that spiritual nature to life to move through me. Even in the tough places, God promises to be with you and me. So do you want what the Holy Spirit can give you today? I hope so. To know that you're a child of God here. I hope you want to know that. I hope you want to know that you belong 100% to God today. You belong in the Father's heart today. You are in there. You're in the Father's heart today. It's such a gift to know this. And if you want to know it, if you want it, you can have it. That is the gift that God offers you and me today, through the presence of the Spirit. So let's pray.